My name's Charles Flato III. I wasn't born in Kingsville because there wasn't a doctor here at that time. I was born in Cuero, Texas, 1907. My father, Charles Flato Jr., came to Kingsville in 1904. Actually, before the town had was started, he came in here and established several businesses. And during his lifetime, he was very interested in the town, in the community, and the growth and progress of this area. Being a native of Kingsville, so to speak, I am also and have been interested in the growth of this community.
Okay, Mr. Flato, we're be mainly concerned now with how A&I University got its start. And I'd like to begin by asking you is, how did Kingsville get chosen as a site for the university?
Around 1916 and 17, there was a committee appointed by the governor to locate 6 normal schools in Texas that the legislature had appropriated money for or had interest in establishing. They were to be scattered in different areas all over the state. Texas Tech was one of the ones chosen at that time. Of course, there was much competition among towns in South Texas on trying to influence or guide this committee into locating the South Texas school in their towns, Goliad, Beeville, Victoria, and of course Corpus Christi was in competition with Kingsville. Kingsville had a very active Chamber of Commerce that time. It wasn't called the Chamber of Commerce, this committee was called a commercial club. And because many of the men living here in Kingsville had some influence in Austin at that time, they were able to get the governor to appoint several men on this locating committee that were their personal friends or kind of leaned toward Kingsville. Among them, a man named Mr. Flowers from Lockhart. Well, in this manipulation, so to speak, why the people of Kingsville, these men that had been working on it, my father was quite interested and quite a good friend of these people that were on the committee. And they almost knew for a certainty that even as early as 1918, that this normal school would be located in Kingsville. And it was years later before any of this behind-the-scenes politicking, so to speak, came to the light of these other men in other towns. And, of course, since that time, these area towns have always been very jealous of Kingsville, particularly Corpus Christi. The A&I didn't become a reality actually until in about 1924, then it was opened officially in the summer of 1925. As I remember it, just a few hundred students. I was the 17th student to register at ANI in the summer of 1925, and went there for the summer term. The physical plant, of course, was just what we know now as the old administration building. Of course, the first name given to the school was South Texas State Teachers College, primarily a normal school to teach school teachers and for the public schools of this area.
Of course.
And, later on, it became Texas A&I for the arts and industries. And many of the people back in the late 20s and early 30s were particularly interested in promoting the school as an agricultural school. And that department was stressed. In fact, it is much more so than it is now. In the beginning of A&I, the first tract of land was given offered to this selection committee for free by Mr. R.J. Clayburgh Sr. and my father. They had a land company which owned the property on which A&I now is located, called Kingsville Land Investment Company. And they gave the land to establish the school on. Sometimes the false impression has been that King Ranch were the main donors and backers of A&I. They certainly have backed it 100%, but there have been many other people in Kingsville, in Clayburgh County, that have given of their time and money, experience and foresight of getting the school off to the wonderful university it is now. I remember very well the first president of A&I, Dr. R.B. Cousins, who came here from Houston as having been superintendent of the schools in Houston for some time. And I remember how pleased my father was at the time that he accepted the presidency of A&I. Dr. Cousins brought many former teachers under him, that had taught under him in other schools, to A&I, and they got started with a very good faculty in that respect, and they were very cooperative with Dr. Cousins and the Board of Regents, so there weren't many internal conflicts that sometimes happen with schools are just started or after they're going. Many of the first professors at the school have retired and are residents of Kingsville this time. Right now, Dr. J.R. Manning, our mayor, was one of the first professors. J.E. Connor, for whom a museum is named at the college, was the first history department man, and had a great deal to do with the growth of an interest in A&I over South Texas. Another professor at the school who had much influence, particularly on the boys and girls and their social life, was Mrs. Georgia Bergeron. I can remember Ms. Bergeron always had teas and coffee in her office, and she was particularly interested in the athletes of A&I and insisted that they take a few of her social courses as well as visit her at her tea sessions. And some, along with their athletic endeavors, why many of these young men improve their social graces through her efforts and her interest in them. I remember Bud McCallum, and then before Bud was Coach Smith. Coach Smith was, as I remember, was in the English department. But he insisted that these boys take courses under Ms. Bergeron and some of the other things. Then when he retired as coach, Bud McCallum, and he was quite successful back then in talking young high school athletes into coming to A&I College. In fact, he used to spend most of his salary, personal salary, on recruiting men and then helping them find jobs, and when they couldn't do that, he'd pay for their meals and that sort of thing. So he was certainly sort of the founder of the wonderful football teams that we had right at the beginning of the school. When A&I first came into being, Kingsville was a rather small town. The dominant industry, of course, was railroad company. They had shops, railroad shops here, and their general offices. And it was quite a union town. Of course, we've had also agriculture, farming, and ranching interests in this area. And we've always had a real good relationship between the county and townspeople with A&I College. In fact, many of the first projects for his physical structures out at A&I were financed locally. One of the largest ones, of course, was a student union building, which was, funds were collected and donated here in this area, particularly Kingsville, to build the first section of the present student union building. A&I has been very fortunate in having some very fine members on their board of regents, a governing board, particularly Mr. Frank Smith, who is president of Houston Natural Gas Company, and Mr. Lon Hill of Corpus Christi and the Central Power and Light were on the board for many years, as well as Mr. Dick Clayburgh, who was our representative from this section to Washington. They got very competent architects to devise and plan an overall growth plan for A&I, which has been followed, and anyone looking at the campus of A&I will recognize that they know that everything is kind of, the buildings are coordinated and, for its planting and landscaping. That has gone very well and certainly shows their foresight and efforts in having a very beautiful campus for its buildings and trees, landscaping. Of course, it's always a pleasant sight for me to drive over the campus of ANI and see the growth. And remember back when I was growing up, lots of us kids used to trap possums and even skunks, shoot lots of cottontail rabbits in the area where ANI now stands. Of course, when ANI was established here, then we, from the economy of the town, why, it has gradually gone from the main interest of the railroad, which are now just, we don't even have any passenger trains coming through Kingsville. Well, we used to have from 4 to 8 a day. And Kingsville's been very fortunate in having a diversity of many many establishments like ANI. Of course, one of the big things for Kingsville and Clayburgh County have been the discovery of oil and gas and in this area, and that has promoted made a very substantial contribution to our county and city economy. And of course, starting in World War II, the Naval Air Station, Auxiliary Naval Air Station, was established in Kingsville. That certainly helped the growth of the town. In fact, is it was probably the first time that there'd ever been a rapid growth in the town. Up till that time, Kingsville had just grown steadily, which I've always thought is by far the best way for a town, a community to grow. We've had real good relations with the personnel of the air station and of the other industries that are around here. Mainly the Humble Oil Refining Company have a large division office here in Kingsville, and then right across the county line north of us, Sony's Corporation have a large plant, and all the people that work for these are of a type of individuals that certainly help the economy. And we've had many, many wonderful people live in Kingsville because of these people. Kingsville was fortunate in having the aviation wing of the Navy in here. They're for training, and their personnel, of course, is a very high caliber. And most all of them that have been assigned to Kingsville have been certainly surprised at a town in South Texas where a lot of them think it's just out in the boondocks, cowboy place, while finding the college and of course many of both people from Celanese, Humble, and the Navy take extra courses here at ANI and have done that since they've been here. Of course, back in the early days before ANI came to town, why, Kingsville was sort of a country town. Back in from around 1912 to the 17, why, there was lots of talk about the bandit trouble, Mexican bandit trouble, and actually on trains, freight trains, as well as passenger trains running through Kingsville, it, for quite a number of months, why, there'd be a Texas Ranger on each train. He'd get on here in Kingsville and ride to Brownsville, and the train would turn around and come back. There'd be a different one. That was quite something to remember. Intelligent farming, all kinds of woodwork, and many, many have been made names for themselves all over the world that were graduates of Tex-Mex Institute here in Kingsville. Kingsville's always been a community that not only tried to help our local area, but the surrounding area. And I don't think we've had any of the jealousy that you see sometimes between communities. When the 1919 storm played havoc with Corpus, and it was knew that they had to have a protective seawall if the city was going to grow after that, why, Clayburgh County, as well as other surrounding counties, joined with Nueces County because they did not have the valuations to float bonds to build the seawall. And for 20 years, residents of Kingsville and Clayburgh County helped those people of Corpus and Nueces County to build their seawall, which was has certainly helped for the development of Corpus, and this has always been the spirit of Kingsville. And oh, I remember when years ago when we Kingsville had the first opera house south of San Antonio, Houston, and it was seated about 650 people, and of course they had, we'd have Chautauquas in it, and these companies of players would come through from Mexico, local plays, and it was quite a gathering place and for the community. Early days of Kingsville, the dairy in Clayburgh County, the dairy industry was quite prominent. Mr. Clayburgh Sr., through his efforts, had brought very fine individual Jersey cattle from the Isle of Jersey and made available the use of very fine sires for these farmers that had Jersey herds. And Kingsville was noted for many years for its dairy products, particularly its ice cream and butter. I repeat, my father came to Kingsville in 1904 from China. He established the first business, the Kingsville Lumber Company, here in town. Brought in the first loads of lumber from Robstown over with teams, mule teams. We have large safe in a vault down at our store building that was brought overland from Robstown, because that was as far as the railroad, closest railroad came to Kingsville at that time.
And
with the railroad coming through, the official date on birthday of Kingsville is the 4th of July, 1904, when the first train came through Kingsville going to Brownsville. And for years, we had 4th of July celebrations here in Kingsville, celebrating this event. There was much speculation, land speculation around this area at that time, and of course, the Rio Grande Valley was opening up.
Hello.
A section of land were sold by Mr. Clayburgh to Mr. Theodore Koch, who started developing the southeast portion of Clayburgh County. He would bring trainloads of homeseekers from Illinois, Wisconsin, all through the Middle West, and lots of small tracts were sold to these people, 50, 60, 120 acres. And
artesian
water had been discovered over the lands, over this section of the country, before the railroad came in, and these wells were flow of real good artesian water. And it was visualized that this would be a truck farming area, which it was for many years. But after the country developed and so many wells were put in, of course the water didn't flow and it became too expensive to try to irrigate. So all the crops went from irrigated type of farming to dry land farming of cotton and feedstuff, grains. Back in the early days, one of the most things Clayburgh County was proud of was their paved road that ran from which is now 6th Street. It ran from the north end of Clayburgh County and to the south end. Right, started right south of Bishop and then ran to Rivera, and it was a macadam road, and that was the only hard surface paved road for many miles around. Of course, at that time, all the roads in Nueces County were just dirt roads, and it was an all-day trip going one way to Corpus Christi. And if you got caught in a heavy rain in a heavy black land of Nueces County, you were stuck if you were in an automobile several times before you arrived in Corpus. I remember quite often going to Corpus while my mother wouldn't let anybody drive the car over some of these narrow bridges that she'd get out, I'd have to tag after, then they'd drive the car over it, and she'd get back in. And at that time, the road from Kingsville to Robstown in the early days was on the west side of the railroad and not the east as it is now.
In the
early days, I think of around 1910 to 18, there were many young bachelors living in Kingsville. Either worked for the railroad or other people here, and it was quite a social life, as well as many practical jokes being played on visitors. And one of the things at that time was the badger fights that were held. It was a mock fight between a live badger and a bulldog. Of course, there was a lot of skullduggery going on, so the badger never was turned out of the box, but the person who pulled the badger out of his cage, which was enclosed entirely, solid, was always made the brunt of this joke. Kingsville, to me, has always been known as a easygoing town, but progressive to the point where most of the time, the community was several years ahead of in development of our town and area than other similar towns or ones close by. To illustrate that, Clayburgh County was the first, built the first hospital under the Texas State Hospital Act, which meant that the county could vote bonds to build a county hospital. And this was, I believe, back around 1912, between 12 and 15. Present day, we have probably one of the finest hospitals for its structure and equipment for a town this size in anywhere. My mother came to Kingsville as a young bride in 1904 with my father. They were both of German descent. My mother was a Von Rader from Yorktown, Texas, and my father's family had settled the town of Flatonia. And then later on, he, as my father got older before they married, why, he had a lumber yard in China, Texas. The reason my father came to Kingsville was that Mr. R.J. Clayburgh Sr. wanted to develop Kingsville as a town and town site, and he talked my father into coming. But by the carload, not by just a few boards or just enough for one house, because there were many houses being built, as well as posts for the farmers and ranches, that type of thing. He also, with Mr. Clayburgh's help, started the first dairy in this part of the country, where they, of course, made their ice cream and butter and milk. And he was the first vice president of the bank that Mr. Clayburgh established here in Kingsville, which is now the Clayburgh First National Bank. The first public school system started a few months after the town was established in 1904. Professor Colston was the first principal and superintendent. Probably, as I remember it, weren't more than about 32 students the first year. In 1909, Mrs. King built a high school building, which still stands here in Kingsville, and then the school district built two grade schools, which at that time we called East Ward and West Ward. They're now Lamar School and the Stephen F. Austin School. My father was the first president of the school board and continued up through as president up until the time of his death in 1921. He was always very proud of our high school football team as well as the baseball team. For years, furnished the uniforms and transportation for both these teams, for both the football and baseball. I have very pleasant memories through the years of meeting and associating with some of the great men of the state. Mr. John Cherry from down at Cherryland in the Valley, and Mr. R.B. Krager from Brownsville, and Judge Jim Wells Well, as I'd like to start, we're frequent visitors in our home, and it was certainly something to get to talk and to these men and listen to their views and their dreams for this area. The privilege I had was knowing Dr. Skinner, who founded the Presbyterian Pan-American School here in Kingsville, but of course at that time it was known as Tex-Mex and School for Presbyterian Boys. He was a marvelous person and actually turned down the presidency of Princeton University to do his missionary work here. Now, times change. The school, Tex-Mex school, boys were all from Mexico, are of Mexican descent, and went to school half a day and worked half a day. And Dr. Skinner, with the help of the boys, built most of the buildings on their campus. But when they were finished, generally two-year college, high school and two-year college, the boys could go out as missionaries to any place in the world and show people how to repair shoes or temper an axe